it is time for some of you to really, I should say many of you, to really start rising. I'm going to talk about the five signs that God is pruning you for something greater. And the little hesitation you see in me is because I'm really talking to not only just everyone, but I'm also talking to a select group of people. I'm recording on my camera right now for my YouTube channel, but I decided at the last minute to go live as well. And whenever I do that, it's normally a pretty important message. So I'm really talking to everyone right now, and especially for those of you who have been put in positions where you know that God is calling you high. But there's all this opposition that's coming your way. There's all of these Goliaths. And for some of you, not everyone, because it depends on the season that we're at in life, but some of you have not made that move to walk into the calling that God has for you. And it's because we look at our surroundings and we look at our environment, and we allow the Goliaths that stand at the door to stop us. So let's first start off with just a few points I want to make, and then I'm going to go into some other things. Hello, everyone. I'm having you all stream live while I'm recording this on my YouTube. So we're going to call this, for sake of a title, I wrote this down, Five Signs God is Pruning You for Greater Things. Let's examine David. And then I want to go into some other things about kings and queens. So let's look at David. Everyone turn over really quickly to the book of Samuel. And I'm going to start, and I normally don't even have notes written down, but I have 5 points I want to make. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to do my best to kind of fly through this because I want to make a point with this. Do you know that before David became king, let's look at some of the signs that he had to go through, some of the patterns. Remember I said the Bible is always a series of patterns. And if we take our time and just follow the patterns and examine it, we can see that many times we're going through the same things, but we just don't realize it's a pattern. So the pattern in this is, let's look at what are some of the signs where we knew David was being pruned, or I should say we are being pruned for that greater season ahead. So look in 1 Samuel real quick, you guys. 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is when Samuel came to Jesse's house, and Samuel was coming to Jesse's house, by the way, to anoint, you know, whoever was going to be the next king. And so one of the signs that you know that you're in a pruning season is oftentimes, and listen to me, I'm speaking into the camera and then I'm speaking into live on social media. Many times you get overlooked. Many times you get overlooked. And I know from experience, when you get overlooked, there are times where you look at your life and you think, am I really called to do what God is telling me to do? Is this really, did I really hear him right? Is this really what he wants for my life? Because, you know, I feel like I'm overlooked in this process or in this situation. Many times we get overlooked, and because we're looking at what other people think of us, what other people say, or maybe you launch, and I'm talking to everybody in general, maybe you launch your ministry, maybe you launch your nonprofit, maybe you launch whatever it is, maybe you put your product out there, maybe you told a few people what it is that God told you to do, and you don't get the response that you're looking for. Many times we get overlooked. And we fail to understand sometimes that's a part of that pruning process of that season we go through. You don't believe me? Let's look at this. Turn over to 1 Samuel. And I want you all to look at what happened when Samuel went to Jesse's house. Jesse was David's dad, by the way, and began to figure out which one of these brothers am I going to anoint as a king. So when you look on here, and starting in verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things a man look at. Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then it goes on to talk about all of the sons that Jesse had. And just so you know, it was a bit of a process. You know, Jesse had his sons each go before Samuel, and Samuel would attempt to pour the oil. And if the oil wouldn't flow, then that just means that's a sign from God that this person is not to be king. So I'm going to skip over a little bit of that and get to the point that all of the brothers, I think it was 7 or so of them, had passed by and the oil wouldn't flow. Now listen to this. In verse, and again, I'm in 1 Samuel 16 for those who are just joining. In verse 10, Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, now mind you, Samuel was a prophet. Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? So can you imagine being David and you're out there like tending flock and taking care of sheep and doing all other kind of things, right? And somebody special is at the door at your house and you weren't even called into the meeting. You were not even called to the meeting. That's what makes it so bad. And somebody, especially they're getting ready to anoint one of these brothers of yours to be king, and you weren't even considered. It took the prophet himself to say, and I'm paraphrasing, don't you have any, are there any other kids you got? Do you have another son? That's the only way they thought about David. David was not even considered. So that's point number one that I'm making in this, you know, and again, I think I'm going to title this, what are the five signs that you know you're going through the pruning season? One of them is, baby, you often going to get overlooked. I see some comments coming through here in the feedback. You often are going to get overlooked. But don't you mistake those moments when you get overlooked as a sign of weakness or as a sign of maybe I don't have what it takes to do what God has called me to do. You know, am I really who God says I am? Can I really go out there and do what God has told me to do? Can I really start up and do what that dream that he put in my heart to do? Because I don't seem to be recognized by anybody in my surroundings. That's how that works, you all. So that's one of the signs. That's just one. David was overlooked. Let's look at another one. Another sign is, just turn on over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Many times you would get mocked. You would get mocked. And let's see what happened with David. So David, when he went to take some, first of all, you'll get mocked, you'll get overlooked. David had, in verse 15, it says, David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now, there was a point when David had to take lunch or like a meal to his brothers who were out on the battlefield. So just imagine you're going out on the battlefield. You're not even in battle. They're not even considering you, but you're having to take them lunch. Well, listen to what they said to him in 1 Samuel 17, when he went to take them lunch in verse 28. When Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger and asked him, why have you come down from him, from here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? You guys caught what he did? So he's basically minimizing what David was doing. Well, like, why did you come down here? Of course, David was going to bring them some food. But one of his brothers said, who did you leave those few sheep out there in the desert with? Like, go take care of that little mess that you're supposed to be out there doing. He was mocked. He was also mocked again. I'm going to jump ahead when he went before Goliath. If you look in verse seven, chapter 17, and you look at verse 42, it says, he looked over David and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? He says, and then he just goes on to say that I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beast of the field. So oftentimes when you're going through like that, what I call like a pruning season, when God is getting us preparing for something greater, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, because I have a special message for those of you, especially for those of you who are in positions of great influence. Oftentimes we go through this season of we're overlooked. We're mocked. There's another point I put in here. Many times we find ourselves in a lowly position. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and look down. I wrote this passage down in verse 15. In verse 14 and 15, David was one of the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So think about that. David is in the field taking care of sheep, right? David is, you know, and while he's doing that, by the way, he's taking the sheep out of the lion's mouth. You know, he's fighting while he's out there. He's playing the harp. He's having to go back and forth between Saul and taking care of the sheep. And what he was doing for Saul, by the way, is he was playing the harp like a lyre for Saul. That's a whole nother subject I won't go into. Right. And then his other task was to go out there and take lunch to his brothers who are out on the field. And keep in mind, when he took lunch out to them on the field, they mocked him and talked about him. So just keep all of this in mind as you're thinking through your life and what phase you may be going through. I'm trying my best to encourage those who know that there's a strong calling on your life. God has called you to do something. And I believe God has called all of us to do something. We're all here for a reason. But your circumstances don't look like what God has called you to do. In fact, it almost looks like the opposite. So could it be possible that this is a sign? One of the signs of you being in that pruning season when God has called you higher. Let's just examine David a little bit more. So David was overlooked. For those who are just joining, I'm reading in 1 Samuel. David was mocked. We talked about that. David was placed in a lowly, very humble position. Let's look at what else happened. David had to meet a Goliath. Just before I went live, a friend texted me something, and she said, Zee, I feel like I'm having a Goliath moment right now. I won't go into detail due to personal reasons, but she texted me a situation happened where Goliath has showed up. I said to her, oh, girl, that's just a small Goliath. I said, because Goliath always stands at the door that leads to our next level of elevation. That means you're about to go higher. Success is right around the corner. That's the only time when the Goliath shows up. That's why the Goliath is there. So let's look at this. When we feel that we're going through a pruning season, why do we face a Goliath? Look in 1 Samuel 17. Let's go to verse 42. 1 Samuel 17. And actually, I'll even go over a little bit further with this when he went before Goliath. So Goliath said to him, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? David said in verse 45, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. And then he just goes on to say, this day the Lord will hand you over to me and I'll strike you down. And he goes on to say some other gruesome things that he's going to do to the man. I don't think I can say that live on social media. But basically he says, I'm going to be feeding you, to the birds of the air and the beast of the field and this and that. And David ran toward him quickly in battle, reaching into his bag, taking out a stone. He slung it and struck him on the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead and he fell down on the ground. We all have to face our Goliath. That's another part of going through that pruning season. I'm not speaking to you all to teach you. I'm speaking to you because I'm just sharing my own experiences. I don't want you to mistake the opportunities that are available in the pruning seasons you may be going through right now. We all have those Goliaths that come to us in the pruning season. We go through those seasons of being overlooked. We go through those seasons of being mocked. We go through those seasons of being almost in a lonely place or being humble. And then you would think, with all of that stuff that's coming our way, why does there have to be a Goliath standing at the door now? That's because all that time during that season, baby, God has been preparing you and getting you ready for that moment. You notice how David used the resources that were available to him? Hello, you all. I'm seeing all the comments coming through. I'm recording on my YouTube and I'm going live at the same time. When I end this YouTube, I'll engage with you guys just a little bit more. I see someone saying, wow, that's so true. Felt that quite a few times and just tried shaking it off, thinking I'm just being too sensitive. So thank you for saying that, baby. But this is why it's so important that we understand patterns in the Bible. You know, you should be able to go into a story like David's story, for example, and look at that pattern and be able to just sit with it for a moment and just think, just says, wow, this is interesting. Let's look at this pattern in his life. That's just so interesting, isn't it? The man had opposition. He was overlooked. He was mocked. He was definitely placed in a humble position. How many of you feel like you've been placed in a humble position for a long time? And then, out of everything, now there's a Goliath standing there in the doorway. And my question for you all before I go into point number 5 with this is, what are you going to do when Goliath is standing at the door? Because on the other side of that door, that is your greatest transformation, baby. That is your greatest opportunity to grow. That's your next level that you've been praying and looking for. And so I believe, this is from my own convictions, it is our role to do exactly what we saw David do. What did David do? David went back into, I call it a toolkit, a toolbox. David went back into his toolbox, and David was able to gather all of the things that he learned and that he used during those low, lonely seasons of his life. David was able to get that stone and get that slingshot. And in fact, he says, basically, who is this person that he should defy the living armies of God? You know, he says, I've struck the bear. In fact, let's read it. This is how confident he was, because he was speaking about all of the mess that he went through. Saul said, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man from his youth. Excuse me. So there comes some more opposition right there. Right. But David said to Saul, I love this part, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I just love this. He says, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from his mouth. When it turned to me, I seized it by his hair, struck it, and killed it. He said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And then he goes on to say, this uncircumcised Philistine would be like one of these because he has defied the living armies of God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. That's some powerful, powerful, powerful stuff right there, you guys. You may say, well, Z, how do we relate that to our lives? Well, that's actually pretty easy. What have you been going through this difficult or pruning season in your life? And as you face this Goliath at this next level, what is it that God is showing you that he's trained you with so you can be able to use that and be able to overcome what's now before you? For example, it could be the power of prayer. So many of you have been going through so many things and you've been praying left and right and up and down, right? Building capacity in the spirit to pray. Could it be this Goliath that you're now facing, or some of you may be about to face or have faced? Could it be that now, because you built such capacity in the spirit, you now know how to go into that spiritual war room? You guys know for me, it's my closet, right? Right? You know how to go in there and you know how to engage in spiritual battle and prayer. You should have seen me last night sitting in my closet, singing out songs to God. Engaging in spiritual warfare, and it's not that there's something like bad really going on, but engaging in spiritual warfare and going ahead of my day, ahead of my week, ahead of my year, right? Praising and singing songs to him. All of that is getting you prepared and ready for that next level. Some of you have been writing books. I've heard you all. You've reached out a couple times and said, Z, I've been writing. I don't kind of know where this book is going, but I've been writing. You're getting prepared. For some of you, the season that we're going through, when you're in this pruning season, by the way, and that's when God begins to uproot you and take away what's no longer needed. For some of you, God is getting you prepared to learn how to stand alone, just you and him. In fact, I don't know anyone that's done anything great that didn't go through a season. My God, I've gone through it many times, of where God just had to get me alone. And so you're worried and stressed and you feel like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Why have I had, I don't know, relationships go left field or people betray me or this or that? And you're looking at it as a negative thing, but God is getting you ready for that Goliath moment when you are going to have to stand alone. So when you walk through that door, or I should say when you kick that door down with the help of God, even if you have to do it alone, you're not looking around for other people that's got to be there to cheer you on while you do it, because God has built your capacity in the spirit. So that was point number four. Point number four is, you know that you're going through a pruning season when, number one, you've been overlooked, you've been mocked, you've been humbled and been in a lowly position. And get this, a Goliath stands at the door. I really don't know any passages in the Bible. And I was talking about this yesterday in my mentorship session. Oh, my goodness, it was such a phenomenal session yesterday with everybody being on a Zoom call. So phenomenal. But I said to them, I says, I don't know of any stories in the Bible that I can even think of anyone that's done anything great, right? Anything great where they didn't have like a Goliath moment, you know, where they didn't have to overcome something great. And by the way, I really believe that that's when you know you're almost like at the end of a pruning season. When that Goliath stands at the door. Let me pause a second on this one because this is very important. I want to talk to you all now. Some of you may be feeling right now, see, I don't know if I can go on, or I'm just tired. It's just been so much happening. Like, I just need some help. I'm not quite sure exactly, you know, with everything that's going on, why is there now a Goliath standing at the door? Baby, that can be the signal that you're at the end of that pruning season. And God is now, because now you need to use all the tools, all the things God has allowed you to go through. That could be the one symbol or the signal that you're at the end of that pruning season and you're now about to go into your harvest season. You may say, well, Z, well, how can you say that? Well, it's easy. I'm actually following a pattern in the Bible from David. Let's look at what happened. All right. Turn the page over. So we just read in 1 Samuel, I think it was 17. When David overcame him. Now, I won't go into all the detail, but basically David then became king. People started making up songs after him. His name became known throughout the land. In fact, it goes on to say in verse 14, chapter 18, verse 14, in everything he did, he had great success. In everything he did. Now, David went on to do some other things he had no business doing, but that's a whole nother subject. We won't get into what happened with Bathsheba, and we won't get into how he was parenting his kids, because, you know, they went through some drama as well. David's life was not perfect, just to be clear. But the beautiful thing about that is when David made that transition, he began to have victory after victory after victory after victory. And again, in 1 Samuel 18, verse 14, it says, in everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. Now, you would think I want to stop at this point, because we've gone through four major things when you know you're kind of going through a pruning season. One of them is you get overlooked. Two, you get mocked, right? Three, you're going to have your Goliath moment, right? And when you get past that Goliath moment, at least from the patterns that I see here in this Bible, there's a sense of victory on the other side. But here's something that we don't look out for. And then there's that moment of, some people call it jealousy, some people call it opposition. But let's see what happened as he began to celebrate these victorious moments. Let's look at this. Turn to 1 Samuel 18, 9. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, I think it's in verse 9, Saul was very angry. In fact, let's just go up another verse, verse 7. As they were dancing, and they were basically singing songs about how great David was. And one of the songs was, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. So get this, Saul's already the one king, but yet they're singing songs about David's done even more. So check this out. Verse 8, Saul was very angry. It says, this refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. And he says, what more can he do but get the kingdom? And from that time on, look at verse 9, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Now, I won't even go into more detail with this, but the bottom line is Saul did a number of things to try to take David's life. Saul even tried to set him up. Saul even was like, here, marry one of my daughters. And he was really doing this to set him up. You know, gave him an impossible goal to hit, which David not only hit that goal, he superseded it. But all throughout, unfortunately, for the rest of Saul's life, Saul was basically trying to go after and take David's life. He was very jealous of him. And you may say, well, Z, well, how is that encouraging? Because some of you may have just slayed your Goliath. You might be on the other side of that mountain now. And some of you may be wondering, Z, I did not expect that there would be opposition. I went through so much. I allowed God to take me through this pruning season. And some of you are at the stage where you've already overcome that Goliath that God has put in, that's been placed in front of you, and you're on the other side of that mountain. But see, I didn't expect that there would be opposition. And all I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to encourage you, it's actually biblical. If you look at this pattern in the Bible, you'll look at from the moment David began to rise, from the moment that God began to give him success in everything he did. Isn't it strange how sometimes all of this opposition begins to come your way out of nowhere? That's exactly what happened, you guys. So you may be sitting there thinking, what's wrong, or what did I do wrong? Many of you probably didn't do anything wrong at all. You're probably walking and doing exactly what God has told you to do. But you may not understand that, I'm going through a biblical pattern here. This is a pattern that's pretty common that happens in the Bible. That's why it's important, you guys, that we dive into the Word, so that when the situation happens, you can almost look for it like, there it is. Okay, I see it now. Does that make sense, you all? Sometimes it's not what you did, it's who you are, baby. Sometimes they're going to overlook you because of who you are. Because they know there's a calling on your life. They see it. The enemy sees it. Sometimes you will get mocked, especially when you're in those lowly positions, right? And your circumstances don't match with the vision that God gave you. Sometimes you're going to go through that. That's okay. That's going through that pruning season. Sometimes you're going to get overlooked. Sometimes you're going to be in lowly places. You may be in a job or in a career or doing something right now that you feel is far beneath what God has you here for, not knowing that he's preparing you for this next level. Sometimes we go through that. And there are sometimes, and I'm going to be ending with this, we have those Goliath moments. And we, and by God's help, we've gotten through those moments and broken through those doors where Goliath stands. But then we find ourselves on the other side of that wall. And that's when, and I noticed this, and I've been talking to some people, especially from my mentorship. We had to talk about this yesterday. That's when you begin to get a little confused. And I've been there before. Like, where's all this opposition coming from? Where's this jealousy coming from? Or why did this situation happen? It's actually biblical. If you're not, even if you're not into the Bible, look up what the I think it's called the universal law of polarity. Look up that. Just look up the law of polarity. You know, everything has two poles. There's going to be an opposite, good and bad, hot, cold. It's just going to happen, right? Happened with David. So you have all of this success, and all of a sudden now the very person who you were sitting there playing the lyre and playing the harp, by the way, this is a side subject, the very person you were trying to help, by the way, that's a whole nother subject. The very person you were trying to help is the very person that now is jealous and trying to do things to bring you down. And unfortunately, that's what happened in David's life. Now, David's life went on. We know the rest of the story. You know, he became king, did well. You know, the whole lineage is from him. So nothing's going to stop God's plan that he has in our lives, just to be clear, right? But that's the season that he went through, and that whole pruning season. Remember, very quickly, remember we talked about Matthew. I won't read it, and I wasn't even planning on turning to it, but I think it was Matthew chapter 18. You guys can go back and read that yourself. Was it 18 or was it 20? Remember we talked about the book of Matthew when we talked about the weeds. And we talked about how there was an example, a beautiful example that Jesus gave about the weeds in the tear. It's in Matthew chapter 13 about, you know, what the coming of the kingdom of heaven is like. I'm not going to go through it again because I've already gone through it twice or so in the past week or so. But remembering that whole passage when he says, you go out to sow good seed, but then at night the enemy comes and begins to sow all of these weeds. So as the wheat, as the good wheat begins to grow, what happened in that passage? You guys remember? The weeds began to grow as well. And then the workers of the field were like, whoa, 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 where did all this come from? We went out and sowed good seeds. What is this? Where are these weeds? And then they asked, should we go and pull them up? And what example in this parable, and again, it's referencing the coming of the kingdom of heaven, but what example, what was the response to that? Should we go and pull them up? The response is no, 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 no. We're not going to get distracted with all of that. Mm-mm. Nope. It says, let them both grow up together, which is one of my favorite lines in the Bible. Let them both grow up together. That taught me so much when I picked up on that mystery behind the scriptures. And that mystery taught me, oh my God, as I go out to sow good seeds and do good things in life, I've got to expect to know that sometimes, really many times, the weeds are going to appear as well. But I'm not going to allow that to distract me from the call and the purpose God has over my life. So I pray that you all have been encouraged. This entire podcast episode, I believe I'm going to call, and I actually wrote down the title, 5 Signs That God Is Pruning You for Greater Things. I pray that this has greatly encouraged you all. I'm going to stay and talk to the people who are on this live right now, but I love you all. Be encouraged.